to our Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. We are on the first chapter. So as usual, we will begin by chanting the verses of the first chapter. You all have the book with you. So we will all chant together. Clearly reciting these verses is very important, as we have repeatedly stressed in these classes, because this sound vibration is spiritual sound vibration, and by reciting it, by vibrating the same syllables, our heart is purified and we will be able to more easily understand the purport of the Bhagavad Gita. So far, in the first chapter, we have discussed Dhritarashtra's anxiety about the outcome of the battle. We have seen how Duryodhan approached his commander-in-chief, Dronacharya, and pointed out the brave warriors on the side of the Pandavas. And then, to bolster up the spirits of his own army, he pointed out the names of the great warriors on his own side, the Kaurava side. And his conclusion was that with Bhishma and Drona and other great warriors on their side, victory was definite, certain for the Kauravas. There was no doubt about this. And then Bhishma, in order to encourage Duryodhan, blew his conch shell, and the others in the Kaurava side also blew their conch shells. And finally, when this conch shells, trumpets, bugles and other instruments were being blown on the Kaurava side, as was the custom in the battle, to bolster the spirits of the warriors, then Krishna and Arjuna also sounded their own transcendental conch shells, being stationed on a great chariot. Last time, we discussed the secret behind Arjuna's chariot, how Arjuna got his chariot and the white horses that drew that chariot. And we were on verse 15. We discussed only a portion of it, maybe half of it. So we will repeat that verse. Panchajanyam Hrishikesho Devadattam Dhananjayah Paundram Datmau Mahashankham Bhima Karma Vrikodarah. Lord Krishna blew his conch shell called Panchajanya. Arjuna blew his, the Devadatta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conch shell called Paundra. Last time we discussed the significance of the three words Rishikesh, Dhananjaya and Bhima. Krishna is the Supreme Lord Himself, the master of the senses, and therefore He is called Rishikesh. According to the different activities that He performs and the different qualities that He possesses, He is called by different names. So Lord Krishna is called Parthasarathi because He was a chariot driver of Partha, the son of Pritha, Arjun. He is called Madhusudan because He killed the demon Madhu. In this way, the Lord has innumerable names, and all these names are given to Him by His devotees out of love, based on the various qualities and activities of the Lord. Arjuna has been addressed in this verse as Dhananjaya, We saw last time how Arjuna, in order to facilitate the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthir Maharaj, went to various places of the globe and brought back great wealth for his brother. Therefore he was called Dhananjaya. Bhima is so called because Bhim means the performer of Herculean tasks. We saw that he killed great Rakshasas like Hidimba, Bakasur, and so on. Similarly, here Bhima is addressed as Vrikodaraha. Vrikodaraha means the voracious eater, in whose belly the fire of digestion, it glows very, very rapidly, very fiercely. So Bhima's stories also we heard last time. And then now we come to the conch shells of these great personalities. Each conch shell or weapon has its own name. So Lord Krishna's conch shell is called Panchajanya. Panchajanyam Hrishikesho. So there is a story behind this as to how Lord Krishna got this conch shell. Now, as we mentioned briefly last time, Lord Krishna is eternally the Supreme Lord. And he has so many wonderful paraphernalia with him, like his flute, his peacock feather, his conch shell, his club, his Sudarshan disc, even his consort, his queen Rukmini Devi or Lakshmi Devi, and so on. Now, all these are eternally existing with the Lord in the spiritual world, in his kingdom, Vaikuntha. However, when the Lord descends into this world, he incarnates here for the purpose of performing many pastimes. He is born like an ordinary human being, or so the impression is given to the people, but factually his birth is transcendental. And therefore, because he is living in the human society, so he acts like those in the human society. So it appears that all this transcendental paraphernalia that the Lord eternally possesses, like the conch shell, the Sudarshan Chakra, the mace, the gada, all these things are given to him at some point in time in his leela, in his pastimes. So there is a similar pastime about how he got this Panchajanya Shankha or the conch shell. It so happened that when the Lord had left Vrindavan, when he was only 10 years old, he lived in Mathura for a while, and during his Mathura leela, he decided that now is the time for me, as is the custom, to go to the Gurukul to learn under my Guru. So he selected a very exalted personality called Sandipani Muni to be his Guru. Sandipani Muni was originally from Kashi, but had settled down in Avanti Desh. And he was running his Gurukul there. So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna's elder brother, they both enrolled in the school of Sandipani Muni. In the earlier days, the children would stay in the house of the Gurukul as the children of the Guru and the Guru Patni. And they were trained and taught by the Guru very systematically for years together. And after they were sufficiently trained, then they would go back. So Krishna Balaram also came there. Sandipani Muni was very pleased to see his two illustrious students. And he taught them all things that were possible to teach. He taught them all the scriptures, the Vedas, the Upavedas, the Upanishads, the Vedangas. He taught them grammar. He taught them logic. He taught them even Dhanurvidya, military science, with all the weapons and how to use them, how to withdraw them, all the mantras associated with them. He also taught them 64 arts. And each of these arts, like singing, dancing, decoration, even hairstyling, all these different arts were learnt by Krishna and Balaram in the Gurukul Each art was learnt in one day. So 64 days they learnt the 64 arts thoroughly and became masters. And the speciality of Krishna and Balaram in the Gurukul was that they learnt everything and mastered it thoroughly just by hearing it once from the Guru. So the Guru was amazed at their super intelligence. And they learned everything so quickly, there was no need for them to stay for years together. Whatever the Guru had to teach, they had already learned. So when the time came for them to go, then they requested that, "We are so grateful to you that you have taught us all these things. Now, we would like to give you some Guru Dakshina. So please tell us what you would like us to give." So Sandipani Muni consulted with his wife and then he told Krishna and Balaram, "Years ago, our little child, son, was drowned in the ocean at Prabhas Kshetra, which is near present-day Dwarka. So you are the Supreme Lord. There is nothing impossible for you to achieve. Therefore, kindly bring back our dead son." So Krishna and Balaram immediately agreed. And on their chariot, they set off for Prabhas. When they reached Prabhas Kshetra, they sat on the banks of the sea, on the shore, and they petitioned the Lord of the sea, Varun Dev. Varun Dev came before them, and Krishna and Balaram ordered that, "Please return the son of our Guru, Sandipani Muni, who has been taken away and stolen by you and your waves." So Varun Dev immediately replied that, "My dear Lord, I have not taken your son. Your son has been taken by a demon called Panchajana, who resides within my waters. I have not taken him," which means that this demon called Panchajana was so powerful that even Varun Dev could not control him. He was so powerful and he was a conchal demon. He had taken the form of a particular sea animal which has a conch around it. So Krishna and Balaram immediately dove into the waters of the sea. They went straight down and they caught this asur and they killed him. But they saw that the child was not with the asura. So in any case, Lord Krishna kept that conch shell. That demon's name was Panchajana. After killing him, the shell that was covering his body, Krishna took away. And that shell is the Panchajanya conch shell that Krishna has, named after Panchajana. Now this Panchajana was originally associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. But he was sent down here much in the same way that Jai and Vijay were sent down here to the material world. Jai and Vijay were the two gatekeepers or doorkeepers of Vaikuntha. And when the four Kumaras, who were elevated sages, sons of Brahma, wished to enter Vaikuntha to have darshan of Lord Narayan, these gatekeepers, thinking them to be ordinary children, they forbade them from entering. And the four Kumaras then cursed them that this Jai and Vijay would fall down into the material world from the spiritual world and they would become asuras. And then Jai and Vijay fell down to the material world. In their first avatar they became Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Then they became Ravan and Kumbhakarna in the second incarnation. And in the third they became Shishupal and Dantavakra. And then they went back to the spiritual world. This happened by the Lord's arrangement. He inspired the doorkeepers from within to stop the four Kumaras. He inspired the four Kumaras from within their heart as Paramatma to curse the gatekeepers. And in this way the Lord facilitated this so-called fall down into the material world because he wanted to engage in pastimes of fighting. When the Lord decides to fight, enjoy Veer Ras, then he must have someone of comparable strength. Someone who is a suitable adversary. Who else but his own dear devotees can be qualified for such an activity? So Lord Krishna sent down Jay and Vijay, and they appeared to be the greatest demons in the material world. So similarly, Panchajanya had this kind of history. Panchajana was also sent down here into this material world, and Lord Krishna fulfilled his desire in chivalry, in the rasa of chivalry, virras. He fought him, he killed him, and not only that, he used this demon's shell covering as his own personal conch shell, which became called Panchajanya. So when the sun was not found even there, Lord Krishna went to Sanyamani, which is the capital of the Lord of Death, Yamaraj. And he blew this Panchajanya conch shell, which was newly acquired by him. And right from a distance, Lord Krishna or Lord Yamaraj understood that actually the Lord was approaching. So when he approached, immediately Yamaraj came outside to welcome Lord Krishna and said, "What can I do for you? We are honored by your presence here in our land." So Lord Krishna said that my guru's son was taken away by the law of karma. He was punished and he is in your abode now. So kindly return him to us. So Yamaraj said, "So be it." And he brought the son of Sandipani Muni and handed him over to Krishna and Balaram. And then the child was taken and presented back to Sandipani Muni in Avanti. And Sandipani Muni was very, very pleased with this. And Krishna Balaram said, "Is there anything else that we can do for you?" And Sandipani Muni said that when someone has disciples like you both, what more desires can there be left to be fulfilled in life? So I heartily bless you that you will never forget any of the mantras that I have taught you or any of the subjects which I have taught you. And it will eternally remain in this life and the future lives. So in this way, Lord Krishna and Balaram offered their respects to their guru and they departed and went back home to continue their Mathura Leela. So the Lord acted just like an ordinary disciple to set the example that we should also accept a spiritual master. We should also take spiritual instructions from superior authorities in order to perfect our life. So this is the history of the Panchajanya conch shell which Lord Krishna was blowing here. And then there is the conch shell of Dhananjaya, of Arjun, which is called Devadattam. Devadatta. This was also acquired by Arjuna in very wonderful circumstances. When the Pandavas were in exile in the forest for 13 years, somewhere after a few years of exile, Vyasadev came to visit the Pandavas. And he met Yudhishthir Maharaj and told him, "My dear king, I know that you are all always anxious about regaining your kingdom and about defeating Duryodhan and reversing the tyranny and the injustice that has been done to you. So in order to help you, I want to teach you a particular mantra called the Pratismriti. You kindly learn this mantra from me and teach it to Arjun. Anyone who learns this mantra can travel as fast as the wind or even the mind. When Arjun has learnt this mantra, he should travel high into the Himalayas. Not only that, he should go higher and higher and higher into the realms of the Devas. And then, because he is such a great pure soul, he is an eternal associate of Lord Narayan, he is Nara himself who has come in this form of Arjuna. Let him approach the Devas and they will be pleased to bestow upon him certain celestial weapons. And with the help of these weapons, Arjuna will be able to defeat Duryodhana's army." So Yudhishthir taught this mantra to Arjuna in a proper ceremony with the proper yajnas. And Arjuna, after bidding farewell to the Pandavas, he moved into the mountains. And he moved like the wind and later like the mind, at the speed of the mind, he was moving very fast. And after a day's travel, he reached the Mandar mountain. Now you can imagine, he was moving so fast, but it took him one day to reach Mandar. So how high was this Mandar mountain? So as he reached there, he saw the very great beauty of this place. And then as he went up, he saw the residents of the higher planets, like the Siddhas and the Charanas, were sporting there on the slopes of the mountains. And Arjuna went even higher and reached a plateau where it was the great splendor and beauty. It kept Arjuna dumbstruck. His breath was taken away looking at the sheer beauty of the nature around him. Just at that time, there was one Brahmin sage who was sitting in meditation under a tree, and he called out loudly and said, "Wait, who are you? You appear to be a Kshatriya. But this place is only for those who are brahmanically inclined. This is only for those who are freed of all anger and desire to fight. The fact that you have come here itself is proof that you have exceptional purity. Because normally these realms are not open to the human beings. Only those who are in the higher planets or those of exceptional purity can enter here. Indeed, no one who has shown his back in the battle can come here. No one who has indulged in sinful activity can come here." So Arjuna, he heard this and said, "I have no intention to give up my weapons, because I have come here with a mission, with a purpose. Because great injustice has been done against us, and I have to help my elder brother Yudhishthir. I am duty bound. And therefore I wish to go to meet Indra." And then the ascetic, he said, "I am pleased with you by your determination in your execution of duty as a Kshatriya." And he revealed his real form, and he was none other than Indra himself. And Indra said, "What do you want from me? Ask any boon." And Arjuna said, "I have come with the purpose of learning the celestial weapons from you. So please give them to me." Indra said, "I can give you residence in my kingdom and all the enjoyment and opulence that is available there. Why do you want only my weapons?" Arjuna said, "I have not come here to enjoy the celestial kingdom. I have come here to obtain the weapons so that I can help my elder brother fight injustice. So my brothers are waiting there in the forest in great suffering. I cannot go to the celestial kingdom to enjoy." So Indra said, "All right, but first of all you will have to meet Lord Shiva and get his blessings. Then you will come." And then after he departed, at that time Lord Shiva appeared in disguise as a hermit. I am narrating the story in a very condensed fashion because the actual story is very long with so many wonderful details. Lord Shiva appeared in the guise of a hunter, and Arjuna at that very moment saw an asura or a demon in the form of a boar attacking him. And immediately Arjuna picked up his bow, thinking that I have not harmed this asura, but he is attacking me, so he deserves to be killed. So he shot an arrow at the boar. Just at that moment, that hunter also shot his arrow. Both the arrows struck the boar simultaneously and the boar died. Arjuna immediately accosted the hunter and said, "Did you not see that this was prey for me? He was attacking me and therefore I killed him. But you have also shot this arrow and therefore you deserve to be punished by your life having been taken by my sharp arrows." So the hunter replied, "Actually, I shot the arrow first, and the animal was killed because of me. So you have no right on this animal. And because you have interfered with my work, therefore you deserve to be killed at my hands." And then a fierce battle took place between Arjuna and this hunter, who was actually Lord Shiva. And Arjuna let loose so many arrows, thousands and thousands of arrows, his golden shafted arrows at Lord Shiva. But all the arrows just simply fell to the ground. Not even a drop of blood came from this hunter. Every weapon that Arjuna tried to throw at this hunter was fruitless. The hunter also began throwing arrows, and in this way a fierce battle went on. Finally, the quiver of arrows which Arjuna had, which by Agni Dev's blessings was supposed to be inexhaustible, it suddenly became exhausted. There were no arrows left. And Arjuna was surprised. How is it that this quiver has become empty of arrows? How is it that Agni Dev's blessings has proven untrue? So then, as a Kshatriya should, whatever weapons he had, he attacked with that. So he attacked with his bow. And he banged it hard, attacked Lord Shiva hardly, with great force, with that bow. But immediately the bow was broken. And in fact, Lord Shiva, in the guise of the hermit, he just withdrew that bow into his own body and it vanished. And then Arjuna had his sword. He attacked with the sword and struck the hermit. But the sword, it broke into pieces. Then Arjuna began to wrestle and box with the hermit because nothing else was left. And they continued. And eventually Arjuna was struck practically unconscious. And then Arjuna, in great bewilderment, he fashioned an image of Lord Shiva and began worshipping him. And as he was about to offer flowers, he saw that flowers were raining down on that hermit from the sky. And he immediately understood that this is Lord Shiva. And he went and offered obeisances to Lord Shiva, Dandavat. And he begged great forgiveness and he glorified Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva said, "I am very pleased with you. Because you have proven to be a great adversary, a match for me. Therefore, ask me any boon." Arjuna said, "I wish to obtain your weapons." So Lord Shiva blessed him with the Pashupati Astra. And he said, "This weapon is not to be used against any human being. Because if you do, then it will be like the time of destruction of the universe. This is to be used only against residents of the higher planets who have equivalent weapons. And Pashupati Astra cannot be counteracted even by Indra, Varuna, Kuvera, anyone." So Arjuna thanked Lord Shiva. And then Lord Shiva blessed him and said, "Now go on to the kingdom of Indra." And as Arjuna was standing there dazed at the good fortune of having had the personal audience of Lord Shiva, at that time from the sky, all the devas began to descend. Kuvera, Yamaraj, Varuna Dev, Indra himself, all came down. And Arjuna welcomed them as was possible for him to welcome in the forest with flowers and water. And then Yamaraj blessed him with a mace, a gada. Kuvera also blessed him with a weapon called Antardhana, which would bewilder and make unconscious even the most powerful of asuras. Varuna Dev gave him his Nagapash noose, which was difficult to escape from. With the noose, he could capture anybody and tie him up. In this way, different devatas gave him different weapons. And when it came to Indra, Indra said, "My chariot and chariot driver Matali are waiting here for you to escort you to my kingdom in the heavenly planets. So please come there and I will teach you the different weapons." So Indra ascended in that same body to the heavenly planets. Please note that heaven is different from the spiritual world or the kingdom of God. Heavenly planets, hellish planets, and earthly planets are all within this material universe. But the spiritual world or the kingdom of God is far beyond this material world. It is a spiritual world where nothing is material. But even the heavenly planets are material. They are only places where tremendous enjoyment and opulence is available for those who have performed great piety on the earthly planet. So they are called Punyakritam Lokan, lokas or planets which are obtained by those who have performed great piety on earth. And one cannot attain that in the human body of the earthly system. One requires a special body to attain those planets. But Arjuna's great fortune was that he was able to attain to Indraloka, Swargaloka, heaven, in that same body of his. And Matali escorted him right through the skyways, been completely pure. Those who have never indulged in eating of meat and drinking of liquor, and those who have accumulated sufficient stock of pious activities, only they can enter this kingdom. And then Indra said, I will give you special vision by which you can see the opulence of my kingdom. And then Arjuna was astonished to see the extraordinary opulence of Amravati. And this is just the material world. And Swargaloka is not even the highest planet in the material world. Even above Swarga, within this universe, there are other planets like Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, etc. So you can imagine what is the opulence of the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. If even Swargaloka is so astonishing in its opulence and beauty, what must be the spiritual world like? We cannot imagine. So therefore, once there, Indra was very happy. He gave him a seat right next to him in his darbar. And the apsaras were coming and giving their performances. The gandharvas and vidyadharas were coming and giving their musical and dance performances. And then after all this, Indra taught him various weapons, like his vajra and other weapons. And Arjuna stayed there for 4 whole years, earthly years. Of course, in Swarga, it took less time. But by earth, comparison of the earth time, he was there for 4 years. And then before he left, he was given more weapons, and he was given at the time of his departure this conch shell called Devadatta by the Devas. Deva Datta. Datta means which is given. Deva means demigods. So that conch shell which is given by the Devas, Devadatta, to Arjuna, therefore it became Devadatta, the conch shell. This is how Arjuna obtained his conch shell. And then Arjuna returned to the earth, to Badrika Ashram, where the Pandavas were at that time. But before that, he fulfilled another mission of the Devas. He killed certain asuras called the Nivata Kavachas. He killed them with his powerful weapons and fulfilled the purpose of the Devas. So anyway, this is a condensed history of how Arjuna received his Devadatta conch shell. In this way we can see that there is history connected with every scripture, with Bhagavad Gita, and all the pastimes connected with the Lord have their own histories in the different scriptures like the Mahabharata, Ramayana, the Puranas and so on. And it is very fascinating to see the interconnection between all these different scriptures and to see how the different personalities in the different scriptures come together on various occasions for various purposes. So in this way, Sanjaya has been describing that Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima blew their respective conch shells. Bhima's conch shell was called Poundra. And then not only that, there were others also who blew their conch shells. Nakul, Sahadev, etc. You can open the Bhagavad Gita. We will chant together text 16 to 18 again. Ananta Vijayam Raja Kunti Putra Yudhishthiraha Nakulah Sahadevascha Sughosha Mani Pushpako Kashyascha Parameshvasaha Shikhandicha Maharathaha Drishtadyumno Viratascha Satyakischa Parajitaha Drupado Draupadeyascha Sarvasha Prithivipate Saubhadrascha Mahabahoho Shankhandatmuh Prithap Prithap. No, only 16 to 18. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. King Yudhishthir, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell, the Ananta Vijaya, and Nakul and Sahadev blew the Sughosh and Mani Pushpaka. That great archer, the king of Kashi, the great fighter Shikhandi, Dhrishtadyumna, Virat, the unconquerable Satyaki, Drupad, the sons of Draupadi, and others, O king, such as the mighty armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective conch shells. So after Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima blew their conch shell, the other great warriors on the side of the Pandavas also started blowing their own conch shells. Every Kshatriya carried his conch shell. It was part of his armory to boost up the spirits on the battlefield. So Yudhishthir's conch shell is called Ananta Vijaya. Nakul and Sahadev, they were also two of the five Pandavas. They were the sons of Madri, the second queen of King Pandu. They were the sons of the Ashwini Kumaras, who are twins. They are the doctors of the, or the physicians of the Devas. So they begot in the womb of Madri these two great sons called Nakul and Sahadev. Nakul was known for his incomparable beauty. He was extremely handsome. And Sahadev was known for his great wisdom. And it was at the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthir Maharaj when the question came up as to who should be accorded Agra Puja, or the most prime place of worship. When there was much discussion going on, it was Sahadev who got up and suggested that it should be Krishna and Krishna alone who is worthy of receiving this respect, because he is the Supreme Lord himself. And then there was, everybody accepted except Shishupal, and Shishupal began blaspheming Krishna. And when Shishupal had sufficiently blasphemed Krishna, then Krishna with his Sudarshan Chakra cut off the head of Shishupal. So Sahadev was known to be very wise, even though he was younger amongst the Pandavas, but because of his wisdom, he would speak very wisely in the courts. So they had their conch shells. Nakula's conch shell was called Suhosh. Sahadev was, his conch shell was called Manipushpaka. And certain other great warriors have been mentioned here in this verse. Srila Prabhupada explains that to know briefly about these great warriors, because this whole story is connected with Lord Krishna, it is not ordinary mundane history. Therefore, it is also spiritually purifying to hear something briefly about each of these great warriors. King of Kashi, Kashiraj, he was also a great hero, very valiant. He was a son, partly procreated by an asura called Dirghajiva. And he participated in this battle. And he also passed away, he was also killed in the battle. Then there was a great fighter Shikhandi. Shikhandi cha Maharathaha. You all know the story of Amba, Ambika and Ambalika, whom Bhishma Dev actually kidnapped in Rakshasa style. Rakshasa style means this kind of marriage. But he kidnapped them for the sake of Vichitravirya, not for himself. But Amba among them, she had already desired to marry somebody else, Shalva. Ambika and Ambalika married Vichitravirya, but Amba refused. So she was honorably taken back. And she went to Shalva, and Shalva said, no, you have already been touched by another man, Bhishma, so I cannot marry you now. So when she was refused thus, she became extremely upset. She went back to Bhishma and said, now you only must marry me, there is nobody else. Because once a Kshatriya princess is touched by somebody, nobody else will marry her. So Bhishma said, I have taken a vow of celibacy, and I have given that vow, so I cannot break that vow, I cannot marry you. She went to Parshuram to complain, because Parshuram was Bhishma's guru. And Parshuram came and tried to persuade Bhishma to change his mind. But Bhishma said, how can I break my vow? So Parshuram said, then you will have to fight with me. So Bhishma and Parshuram had a battle. And they battled for a long time. and nobody emerged victorious. And then finally, Parshuram said, "My dear lady, even I cannot help you now." So then Shikhandi, or rather Amba, took a vow. She performed austerities, gave up her life, and performed austerities to be born again in a form that would be the cause of Bhishma's death. And then Amba was born in the next life as a daughter of King Drupad. Drupad had another daughter, Draupadi. But this was another daughter. And later on, by the grace of a yaksha, this daughter became a he, became a son. So became called Shikhandi. Now, riding behind Shikhandi, Arjuna actually was able to approach Bhishma on the battlefield. Because when Bhishma saw Shikhandi approaching, trying to fight, Bhishma laid down his weapons. Because he said, "I can't fight with a lady. This is against my Kshatriya principles." So Arjuna was behind. And so he came, and eventually he was able to kill Bhishma. So therefore Shikhandi became the cause of Bhishma's death. So Amba's desire in the form of Shikhandi was also fulfilled. So this was Shikhandi. Shikhandi was killed when Ashwatthama, after the battle was over, killed the 5 sleeping sons of the Pandus. The 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi, who are also mentioned here. So the sons of Draupadi were also valiant warriors. And after the battle, when they were sleeping in their tents, Ashwatthama, who was infuriated because his father had been killed, Dronacharya, so he went stealthily at night and killed the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi. And because of it, Arjuna became infuriated and severely punished Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama did not learn his lesson. He again threw the Brahmastra to kill the last descendant of the Pandavas, the son of Abhimanyu, who was in the womb of his wife Uttara. And the child's name was Parikshit. And Ashwatthama threw the Brahmastra to kill Parikshit. But Krishna personally protected this child in the womb with his Sudarshan disc. So therefore, when Ashwatthama killed the 5 sleeping sons of Draupadi, Shikhandi was also killed in that night massacre. And then there is Dhrishtadyumna. Prishata was the father of King Drupad. And Bharadwaj was the father of Drona. So both of them were friends. So naturally, their sons also became friends, Drupad and Drona. However, even though they were studying in the same Gurukul, when they grew up, Drona went to his own place and Drupad became the king. I narrated the story in one of the earlier, one of the first few classes. So when Dronacharya came back begging for some charity from Drupad, Drupad insulted him and said that friendship can exist only amongst equals. So Drona was very insulted. He acquired soon the Pandavas as his disciples, and through them he had them conquer Drupad. He had Drupad bound and brought to him as his Guru Dakshina, and then he took half the kingdom of Drupad as Drupad had promised when they were children. And Drupad was humiliated. He performed a yajna in order to beget a son who would be able to kill Drona. And then from that sacrificial fire came Dhrishtadyumna. The Brahmanas named him so. And he appeared from the fire carrying weapons and armor. He was born like that. And he became the cause of Dronacharya's death. He accepted instruction in Dhanurvidya from Drona and used that same knowledge to kill Drona. Such was the liberality of the Brahmana in those days. So this was Dhrishtadyumna. Virat we have already discussed earlier. He was the king of Matsyadesh. It was in his kingdom that in the 13th year of exile, the Pandavas resided incognito, in disguise, because that was Duryodhana's condition. And then, eventually, Virat's daughter, Uttara, was married to Arjuna's son, Abhimanyu, And then Virat also participated in the battle of Kurukshetra on the side of the Pandavas. He was killed along with his three sons, Uttar, Shweta and another. So in this way, Virat also gave up his life for the Pandavas. Then there is the unconquerable Satyaki. Satyakischa aparajitaha. Unconquerable. He was a very valiant warrior. He was from the Yadu dynasty. He was a very great and devoted servant of Lord Krishna. And he also fought very valiantly. And he was on the side of Krishna when Krishna went as the peace messenger on behalf of the Pandavas. So all these great warriors are mentioned here. Also the mighty armed son of Subhadra, that is Abhimanyu. He was trained very well by his father, Arjun, in Dhanurvidya. He was only 16 years old at the time of the battle of Kurukshetra. And he was so expert that in the absence of Arjuna, only Abhimanyu knew how to penetrate into the Chakravyuha formation. The Kshatriyas of those days, they knew how to make certain military formations which were very, very difficult to penetrate. So Drona had made this military arrangement called the Chakravyuha. And apart from Arjuna, only Abhimanyu knew. But Arjuna's instruction to Abhimanyu was half complete only at the time that the battle began. So Abhimanyu knew how to enter into the Chakravyuha, but he did not know how to come out. And because he was fighting so bravely and killing so many soldiers, unjustly he was killed. Great injustice was done. 7 Maharathas entered and they killed him, including Drona, Kripa and Karna. And therefore, many times when people ask that how is it that Drona was killed unjustly, the answer is that Drona also killed Abhimanyu unjustly. So therefore the karma comes back. So all these so-called injustices that were perpetrated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra at the behest of Krishna, and many among the Kaurava army were killed in a way that appears to be unjust, there is a reason for all of that. And the reason is that all of them also themselves participated in some injustice towards others. Much would come. So in this way, Abhimanyu was killed unjustly. And he died and his son was born posthumously. Parikshit Maharaj was born after Abhimanyu died. So in this way, the whole scene has been depicted. You can picture in your mind the scene on the battlefield as everybody is blowing their own conch shells. So then Sanjay goes on to describe the scene further in text 19. Saghosho dhartarashtranam hridayani vyadarayat nabhascha prithivim chaiva tumulobhyanunadayan. Translation. The blowing of these different conch shells became uproarious, vibrating both in the sky and on the earth. It shattered the hearts of the sons of Dhritarashtra. Hridayani vyadarayat. The hearts of the Kaurava army were shattered by these uproarious sounds. Because we have seen earlier, divyam shankhau pradat matuhu, that the conch shells blown by Lord Krishna and the Pandavas were divine, divya shankhau. Whereas the shankhas, the conch shells blown by the Kaurava army, were not divya. They have not been described as such here by Sanjaya. So because they were divine, they had a special potency, a shakti. And therefore they were able to shatter the hearts of those who were fighting on the side of adharma. Sanjaya does not describe that when Bhishma and other Kauravas sounded their conch shells, that the Pandavas' hearts were shattered. He never mentions like that. But he mentions that when the Pandavas blew their conch shells, the Kauravas' hearts became shattered. So the Pandavas were fearless because they had Lord Krishna with them.
So when one becomes an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, automatically one becomes fearless, because one knows that Krishna is there with one always to protect. Therefore, they are never perturbed, even in the most dangerous and difficult circumstances. Then Sanjay goes on to explain now what happens. Text 20.
Atha vyavasthitan drishtva dhartharashtran kapidhvajah pravritte shastra sampate dhanur udyamya pandavah Rishikesham tada vakyam idam aha mahipate.
Translation. At that time, Arjun, the son of Pandu, seated on the chariot, bearing the flag marked with Hanuman, took up his bow and prepared to shoot his arrows. O king, after looking at the sons of Dhritarashtra drawn in military array, Arjun then spoke to Lord Krishna these words. Arjuna here has been addressed as Kapi Dhvajaha. Kapi means monkey, referring here not to an ordinary monkey, but referring to the valiant Hanuman. Dhvaja means flag. So Arjuna's name is Kapi Dhvaja, because Hanuman was embossed on his flag. So he on whose flag Hanuman resides, or Arjuna, is called Kapi Dhvajaha. How is it that Hanuman came to reside on the flag of Arjuna? There is also a story here in the Mahabharata. You see, there is a history behind everything. So these are called itihasas, Pauranik Kathas. It so happened that when the Pandavas were in exile in the forest, one time as they were sitting, Draupadi was sitting there and Bhima was nearby, a very pleasant breeze was blowing. And all of a sudden, a 1,000-petaled lotus flew by in the breeze, and it landed very close to Draupadi. So she lifted the lotus and she smelled the fragrance, and she was enchanted by the beauty and fragrance of this flower. So she told Bhima that, please bring me some lotuses like this. I wish to present them to Yudhishthir Maharaj. So Bhima was ever eager to please Draupadi, because he knew that she was very much distressed after her insult at the hands of the Kauravas in the Dharma Sabha, or rather in the Sabha of the Kauravas. So then in order to keep her happy, he was always eager. So he said, immediately I will go. So with great enthusiasm and force, Bhima began to climb up into the mountains in the direction from which that flower had come. And Bhima was roaring as he went on. Bhima had so much energy. Bhima Karma Vrikodaraha. He has already been referred to as one who performs Herculean tasks. He has tremendous energy, and therefore he also needed to eat like that. So he was called Vrikodaraha. So Bhima went into the forest, and because there were no paths created in the forest, he created them simply by his elbows and his arms and his feet. He just crashed through the forest, breaking down all the huge trees, and he made his way, roaring all the way, and all the elephants and lions fled in fear. And as he moved up, higher and higher and higher and higher, and as he reached up, he was going higher into the beautiful realms. And then, again to cut a long story short, he reached some places, he saw a lake, and met some living beings tried to stop him there, who were residents of the higher planets. But he swam in that, he defeated them. And then as he came out, then he suddenly heard a very fearful sound which made his hair stand on end. And if a sound can make even Bhima's hair stand on end, then we can imagine how fearful that sound must have been. So Bhima immediately tried to find out the source of that sound. And he approached the place where the sound was coming from. And he saw that there was a very huge old monkey lying there. He was shining like gold, shining like the sun, golden brilliant in color. And this monkey had lashed his tail against the ground a couple of times. And that was the cause of this sound. Bhima was amazed to see such a huge monkey there. And this monkey was very beautiful looking. And he could even see the pearl-like teeth that this monkey had, white as foam. And then Bhima approached this monkey, and he was very surprised to see this monkey here. And then Bhima said, "Please move out of my way. I wish to pass." So the monkey replied, "Say, I am only a poor animal. You are a human being. So you should not speak to me so harshly. You should speak to me politely and be merciful to me. I am an old monkey. I have no strength. So who are you? Please tell me." So Bhima said, "I am the valiant son, the most powerful son of Vayu and Kunti. I am Bhima." So he said, "Yes, please jump over me and go." So Bhima said, "I know that the super soul is residing in your heart as Paramatma. Therefore, I cannot jump over you, even though you are an animal, knowing that the Lord is seated in your heart." So this is etiquette. One should not step over anybody's body. This is very important. Because the Lord is in the heart of everyone. So when we step over somebody's body, we are actually offending even the super soul, the Paramatma in the heart. So Bhima said, "I know that Paramatma is there in your heart, so I cannot jump over you. So please move aside." So the monkey said, "Can you not jump over me? Don't you have the strength?" So this Bhima said, "What to speak of jumping over one body? I can even jump over the sea like my elder brother Hanuman did. Who is this Hanuman? Don't you know Hanuman? Hanuman is my elder brother, the great, powerful servant, devoted servant of Lord Ram. And he was the one who jumped over the sea and he went to Lanka. He burnt Lanka and he took the message of Lord Ram to Sri Sita Devi. And I am the brother of that same Hanuman. So do not underestimate my strength." So the monkey said, "Well, that may be, but why don't you just understand I'm an old man, and if you go ahead, then it will only be to your destruction." So Bhima was getting angry. "Do not speak to me about my destruction. I am a powerful warrior. There is nobody who can stop me. So please move out of my way." So Hanuman said, I gave the secret away. Anyway, the monkey said that, "I have no energy to move. So you please move my tail." So Bhima very contemptuously wanted to move the tail. The moment he tried to move the tail, he was unable. He was surprised. Again he put his full might. And then he tried to move. He could not budge the tail even 1 inch. He tried with his full might. Bhima Karma, he tried his full strength. Not 1 inch he could move. He was perspiring profusely. Completely humiliated that he could not move the tail of a monkey by 1 inch. Then he understood that this is not an ordinary monkey. He offered his respects and said, "Please tell me, who are you? Are you a Gandharva, Charana, Vidyadhara, some resident of a higher planet? Who are you?" So then Hanuman revealed himself. He said, "I am Hanuman, your elder brother." And Bhima was very glad to hear this, and he offered his apologies and his respects. And then Hanuman narrated the Ramayana to him in brief, and narrated the exploits of his own army and even of Lord Ram. And then Bhima asked Hanuman to display the form which Hanuman had taken when he jumped over the sea to go to Lanka. Hanuman said no, because that form was revealed in Treta Yuga when everything was much bigger. Even by Treta Yuga standards, I was huge. So huge that others would get terrified at seeing me. And now it is Dwapar Yuga, when everything has naturally become smaller. So if I display a size that was even very large compared to Treta Yuga, in Dwapar Yuga it would be completely so fearful that you will not be able to see it. So anyway, then Bhima asked him many questions. He asked him to describe the various qualities of the four yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. And Hanuman described with great joy. And Bhima was still insistent, please show me that form. So Hanuman said, alright, since you are my younger brother and you are so insistent on hearing, I will show you that form. But don't blame me. He said, now just watch. As far as your eyes are able to perceive, you try to see me. So Hanuman stood up and then he expanded, began to expand his body. And he grew and grew and grew and grew, and he was becoming mightier and mightier and mightier. And Bhima was looking at his form, and then he was unable to see that terrible effulgence and the radiance that was coming from Hanuman, and that power that was sizzling from his body, and his sheer size. And Bhima also was unable to see. In a similar way that Arjuna was unable to see the Virat Roop of Lord Krishna. And then he bowed his head, he could not do anything more. And then Hanuman became merciful on Bhima and again came back to his earlier size. And then he embraced Bhima. And Bhima was surcharged with spiritual strength. And Hanuman said, I am very pleased with you. Please tell me what boon you want. If you wish, at this very moment, I will go to Hastinapur, kill Duryodhan and his brothers, and I will reduce the whole city to ashes. Or if you wish, I will bring Duryodhan here, tied up all in front of you. Bhima said, no, thank you very much for your offer, but we have vowed to kill the Kauravas personally. As Kshatriyas, it is our duty to keep our vow. All we need is your blessings in the battle, that bless us that we may emerge victorious. So Hanuman said, you have all my blessings. And not only that, I give you an extra boon, that when you roar in the battle, when you're in the midst of the battle, fighting, Kshatriyas would roar and they would induce each other to fight. So when you roar in the battle, Hanuman said, my roar shall be along with your roar, because I will be on the flag of Arjuna. And when you roar, being situated on Arjuna's flag, I will roar with you and then I will shatter the hearts of the enemy. So don't worry, I will be right with you on the flag of Arjuna. So in this way, Hanumanji came to reside personally on the flag of Arjuna. So because Arjuna is Kapidhvaja, his victory was assured. First of all, because Krishna was his chariot driver, his victory was assured. And simply because Hanuman was there, it was double certainty that he be victorious. Because that same Ram, whom Hanuman had helped and served in Treta Yuga, was now there in the form of Krishna. And that same Hanuman was also there on the flag. So just as the combination of Hanuman and Ram were victorious against Ravan, here also Hanuman and his devoted Lord Ram in the form of Krishna were there on the chariot. So how could victory elude Arjuna? Victory was certain. So in this way, the combination of the devotee and the Lord is perfect. Even Arjuna and Krishna by themselves were a perfect combination. But with Hanuman coming there, there was no chance that Duryodhan would emerge victorious. So at this time, Arjuna came into military position, fighting mood, and he said, please now take me to the center of the battle. And he spoke to Lord Krishna. What exactly did he speak to Lord Krishna? That we will see when we discuss the next shlokas, 21 onwards. So thank you very much. We will stop here. So today we have discussed verses 15 to 20. And now we will have darshan, the night darshan, which is very, very beautiful. The same darshan is there also tomorrow morning at Mangal Arati, which is at 4:30 a.m. So those of you who cannot come at 4:30 in the morning to have this beautiful darshan of the Lord, you can see him at 8:15 every night. So you can come here and see that same Lord Krishna who was present.
Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.